Genesis chapter number 8 tonight, Genesis in chapter number 8. I hope I can do this justice. I'm telling you what I have discovered is to me very exciting and fun from the Word of God, and I hope it's going to be a blessing to you as it's been a blessing to me as I have studied it. We again, on Wednesday night, I had talked about a type. In the Bible, there are several places, several things. There are several people and objects that are types. And these types can represent Jesus Christ, or these types can even represent heaven, or these types can represent us as believers. And this is something that we're going to look at tonight that is a type. And I told the Wednesday night group that I have been doing a study on doves. I one day just scripture and Psalm 55 and Psalm 55, I saw it. Oh, that I had wings as a dove. And I don't know, just something in my mind clicked. And I said, you know, wonder what the Bible says about doves. And so I started studying it. And the more and more I picked up on it, I thought, well, we'll have a Sunday night message on that. Well, the information has really grown, and so it's turned into a small series, and so we'll see where the Lord takes us in it. But tonight, I hope that you will enjoy this. Genesis chapter 8, and we will start in verse number 5. And the waters decreased continually until the 10th month, and the 10th month on the first day of the month were the tops of the mountain seen. And it came to pass at the end of 40 days that Noah opened the window of the ark which he had made. And he sent forth a raven which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the ark, for the waters were on the face of the whole earth. Then he put forth his hand and took her and pulled her in unto him into the ark. And he stayed yet another 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in unto him in the evening, and, lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. And he stayed yet another 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him any more. And it came to pass in the 601st year, in the first month, in the first day of the month, the waters were dried up from off the earth, and Noah removed the covering of the ark, and looked, and behold, the face of the ground was dry. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come to you tonight, thanking you, God, for the richness of the Word. I pray, Heavenly Father, that I can do justice to your word tonight. I pray each and every one of us hearts and minds are open to receive it. Lord, I pray that the Holy Ghost of God would help us tonight with the word of God and with this type that we have before us. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to encourage us in the word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. The dove is an interesting topic to study in the word of God. I know that may sound like a strange statement, but trust me, as I have been studying this, I have discovered some things that are unbelievable, and I hope tonight to be able to show you just a few of the things in this passage alone. Many of us pass by the word dove, and we think nothing about it. Now, in the Bible, you need to understand the word dove can be as three different doves, or dove types, if you will. You have to be reminded what the Bible teaches us when it is concerned about kind. Kind is important language. Kind. When we have today dogs, dogs are one kind, and they have come from one kind. And we need to understand that. They didn't evolve. Amen? They were created, and they were created, and they have been bred down through the years as different. We have horses that are different. It is not an evolution. It is by creation and by God's design. Amen? Yeah. So in the Bible, we have three types. We have what is known as the turtle dove. It is the gray dove, or if you get close to it, it's actually a light brown color. But when we see out here, we see the dove. But that's the turtle dove. And then we also have what is known as the pigeon. The pigeon is something that is more prevalent in cities and so forth and so on, but they're in relationship one to another. Then there is also another type of dove that we don't have in our area. It is predominantly south of the equator, but it is the same kind of size and shape and so forth, and is considered to be a dove. Now, the dove in these things, including with the pigeon, and they are edible. People do eat them. People hunt doves and things like that. Now, when I was in Africa, this was an amazing story. I wish Logan was here tonight, but they're singing at another church tonight. Got him a gig, amen. Logan was down at the soccer field and in Cape Verde. People make traps to catch pigeons over there, and there are some very large pigeons. I mean, huge pigeons, big things. And what they'll do is they'll have a stick, very crude trap, but it is what it is. They'll have a stick and a metal top, and they'll have a rock or a block on top of it with some weight to it. And they'll put some little corn up underneath that thing. And those little pigeons will fly down, and they'll hit that stick, and they got them lunch or supper or whatever they're going to do. Well, my son was down at the soccer field, and he was there practicing and was with the team, and doves will fly in and fly around. They're looking, trying to find food. And sometimes people will have potato chips or something, popcorn and things like that, and those doves will come down and they'll eat it. Those pigeons will. And there was this pigeon that kept flying around and flying around and flying around. And my son said, "Dad, unless you see this, you couldn't believe it." And he said, there was a guy watching that pigeon. And then all of a sudden, he just leaped into the air and caught that pigeon out of midair. He walked over to his little brother who was sitting there, and he said, "Hold this. This is supper." That's what he did. That happened. So they are edible. You can eat them, but that is just talking about the natural part or the physical part of the dove. As we go along in the Word, I want you to understand there are lots of things that we pass by. Understand this when it comes to the Word of God. I'm going to give you one example tonight, and then we're going to look at the dove. Understand that the Bible is not just a book of facts. It is not just sentences. It is not just phrases. It is not just stories for our enjoyment. The Bible's words has a purpose in it. Every part of it has a purpose. The times that happen in the Bible, we saw all the timing here, and it came to pass in the 600, in the first year, in the first month, the first day of the month. The times are important to us, and we should understand these things. Numbers have a purpose in them. We've been studying Joseph on Wednesday nights, and as we've looked at Joseph, one of the first things it said is we're introduced to Joseph at 17 years old. The number 17 is the number of victory. You see how that complies with Joseph's life? It is when God gave him the dreams to have as a ruler. 17 years old, he was given the victory. Amen? So we see these things in the Bible. People's names are important. What their names meant had to do with how they were living. Cities are important. The names of cities, locations in the Bibles, and creatures in the Bible have a purpose. Let me give you one example tonight. In John chapter number 4, there is a woman of Samaria who comes to the well. Jesus is there at the well. You know the story well. He says, "Give me to drink." She said, "I'm surprised you would ask of me, being Jew, and I'm Samaritan." And he begins to have a spiritual conversation with her. As they begin to talk, she tries to sound spiritual, and she says, "Yeah, Jacob, our father, dug this well." And she says, "We are waiting on the Christ." He says, I am the Christ. As they begin to talk, and he says, "Go get your husband." She says, "I don't have a husband." "Thou hast well said, because you have had 5 husbands, and the man you're with now is not your husband." Whoop, right? So he put her in the sin trap. She has adultery in her life. He recognized all of her marriages and recognized the man that she was with now. So we see that she had sin in her life, and she says, I believe you're a prophet, right? And they begin to talk about being Christ and so forth and so on. Her life is dramatically changed. The Bible is very specific when she leaves Jesus and runs to town. When she runs to town, says, come see a man who knew all my sin. Amen? The Bible is very specific, and it says she left her water pot. She came there seeking for physical water. And Jesus said, if you have drinking of my water, you would never thirst again. See, the Bible is specific when it comes to that object. She came there with an empty vessel, and she left that vessel because she was filled by the Lord. Everybody follow me on that? So in the scripture, there are times where we can pass by something and miss it. So let me tell you a little bit about the dove tonight. Amen? The word dove in the Hebrew language has a very interesting meaning. The root word of dove actually has to do with heat. Heat. This word, as it comes and demonstrates a dove, has to do with lovebirds. Dove is the dove, is the picture of love, right? We know that doves, they do not have songs like songbirds, like sparrows and cardinals and blue jays. What do doves do? They coo, right? Y'all ready? Right? That was good, wasn't it? I've been practicing that. So they coo to each other. This is a language considered to be of love, right? Love birds. The dove is a symbol of love. We see in also when we learn about doves, doves mate for life. Once they find a partner, they stay together until one or the other dies. We see that this is an example to us. Doves in the Word of God, specifically here in Genesis, are a picture of mankind. Isn't that interesting? They're considered to be the love bird. They coo one to another in speaking a language of love. Their name comes, or the root of their name comes for heat that they cause one with another. The dove is also known as a bird of humility and the bird of peace. Isn't that something? And so we see these in the text. Now, in the text, though, what we have is two birds, right? What's the old saying? Birds of a feather flock together. That's right. Now, what we have here are two birds, and they are dissimilar. The first bird we have is the raven. The raven is a very intelligent bird. Ravens have even been trained to speak. Ravens are highly intelligent, and they can see very well. They tell me that ravens can tell the difference. I know y'all put your scarecrows up and so forth and so on, but I have heard that ravens can tell the difference between a real person and a fake person. They will watch with their eye and look. You see a crow or akin to the raven. You see them land, and you think they're not watching you. They got their eye on you. One of the worst things as a hunter is to set up in a stand somewhere. You think you got wildlife beat, and then a crow shows up. And as soon as a crow shows up and sees you, he'll blast it out. Ah, ah, ah. He's letting everybody know there's a guy over here. Now, we see that the raven is intelligent, but the raven in the Hebrew has its name of the set sun. His name is darkness. Isn't that interesting? So the dove's name comes from heat, the idea of heat or love. And then we see that the raven is one that is darkness. We know this by his color. He's black in color. He's dark in color. Understand that this is a comparison of life, a comparison of people in life. Notice what it says in verse number 7. And he sent forth a raven, which went forth to and fro until the waters were dried up from off the earth. The raven leaves the master. Noah has let the raven go out, and the raven flies and flies and flies and flies around until the land is becoming dry. He is out there looking and looking and looking and can find, Brother Daniel, no rest. He finds no place of rest. What will a raven eat? A raven will eat dead things. I want you to think of the carnage that took place because of the deluge, because of the flood. All the carnage, all the things that's out there. He found something to get into. Are you with me? He found something that was rotten. He found something that was stink, something that was putrid, something that was terrible. And he still ate of it. That is a picture and type of sinner. He has gone out from the master. He has gone out from the creator. He has gone out from the one that is in control of him. He goes out and he will not return. His freedom to him is to be involved in vile things. The deluge, the flood, and the word of God is a picture and demonstration of the wrath of God, obviously, but how there is a flood and overflowing of sin in life. But yet he goes out there, the flood is still there, the waters are still there, but the raven still flies about in it. Everybody follow me so far? But notice the dove. The dove is different. Notice what he says in verse number 8. Also he sent forth a dove from him to see if the waters were abated from off the face of the ground. But the dove found no rest for the sole of her foot, and she returned unto him in the ark. For the waters were on the face of the whole earth, and then put forth his hand and took her and pulled her into the ark. We're going to talk about that in a second. But the first thing that I want you to see in comparison, the dark bird, if you will, the one that is a picture of a person in sin, goes out and does not return to the Creator. Notice this. Every person in the world is created of God. Every single person in the world is created of God. And as the raven and as the dove, every person is released into life with free will. Free will to fly about and go wherever you wish to go. But when you cannot find rest, where should you go? Amen? If you were in Sunday school, you'll know, amen. Brother Daniel showed us that we need to turn back to the Creator God. We need to turn to Jesus Christ. The raven has gone out and found something filthy that it's satisfied with. But the dove has not so. The dove has come back to the Creator. Amen? I want you to see or hear the scripture. Matthew 12:43 says, when the unclean spirit is gone out of a man, he walketh through dry places, seeking rest and findeth none. The evil spirit, just like the raven, has gone out seeking, cannot find rest. Now this evil spirit, he comes back home. And when he comes back home, he sees that the place is swept and garnished, and he brings seven more spirits in with him. And Jesus said he's worse than he was before. We find this unclean spirit is looking for rest. Amen? Looking for rest. When Brother Daniel told me what he was teaching, man, I got excited because I knew what I was preparing for tonight. Looking for rest, wanting and desiring to take the heaviness off. To come away from flying about in all your own power. Going about in the world and looking for something good and something great and cannot find it. Turn to God. Turn to God. The raven is a show of the lost man, searching and not finding, and yet not willing to return to God, not willing to return to the master. The dove, on the other hand, here's my first point, finds rest. Amen? The dove finds rest. The dove returns when it finds no place, it says, for the sole of its foot in rest. It wants, the word rest here means quiet. It means a settled spot. When Jesus Christ saved me, I can testify to you tonight, I became settled. Remember the maniac of Gadara? No man could tame him. He was wild. He was untamable. Nobody could control him. And the Bible says Jesus had him clothed, seated, and in his right mind. See, he became settled in Jesus Christ. Come on to God. He'll settle you. Amen. The dove is a picture of us. And we turn back to God. Matthew chapter 11, we heard it this morning. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and you shall find rest unto your souls. Amen. The dove has gone out looking and has come back. Now I want you to see something in this. This to me is very exciting. We need not flitter and fly about in life. We can come to the Master and rest. This world is flooded by sin. There is nothing like being with Jesus Christ. Look at verse number 9, the last part of the verse. It says, on the face of the whole earth, then, notice this, the dove has landed on the ark. Then he, Noah, put forth his hand and took her. Noah is a picture of God. He's a man of righteousness. He took her and pulled her in unto him in the ark. That right there, those few words are very important. It is when we come to God as sinners, we're not sure if we're going to get in or not. We're not sure if God's going to accept us or not. We've been out in the flood worlds of sin. We've come to God and said, God, I'm a sinner. Would you save me? And he reaches out and he grabs hold of us, amen, and he pulls us unto himself into the security of the ark. Amen. That's good stuff, praise the Lord. Hallelujah, man, that's exciting. Also see that when she came near, he brought her to himself. Amen. Praise the Lord. Man, it's nothing that will satisfy you like the Lord. There is nothing that will bring you rest other than Jesus Christ. Let's turn to Psalm 55. Now, I want you to mark your place. Mark your place. We're going to come back to Genesis. Psalm 55. Now, I'm going to come back to this in a few days, Lord willing. But I want to show you this. This is where all of this study got started. Psalm 55. Psalm 55. And let's look at verse number 6, Psalm 55 and verse number 6. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, exclamation point, for then would I fly away and be at rest. If you read this psalm, you'll find out that David's got a lot of trouble. You know what David wants to do? Just like we all want to do. He wants to fly away from it. If I had wings like a dove, if I could just fly away from all this. He said, if I can get away from it all. But I want you to understand, in this psalm, he does get away from it all, because what he does as a dove of God is he flies up to God in prayer. And God helps him, amen. He feels a sense of freedom in prayer when he's with the Lord. I say to you again tonight, we are like the dove. Noah is like the Lord, and he has grabbed us and brought us to himself. Amen? It's good. You have wings as a dove. You can fly to the Lord at any time. Let's turn back to Genesis and chapter number 8. Genesis and chapter number 8 again. Genesis chapter 8, let's look at verse number 10 and 11. And he stayed yet other 7 days, and again he sent forth the dove out of the ark. And the dove came in to him in the evening, and lo, in her mouth was an olive leaf plucked off. So Noah knew that the waters were abated from off the earth. 7 days, the number that represents completion and perfection. Her work is not complete. She has been with the Master these 7 days, and he has sent her out with a task. I want you to go out and see if you can find a place. See if you can find something. Notice that when she finds something, she finds the olive leaf. This is very, very important. The Bible teaches us and says that the ark stopped at Mount Ararat. The olive is not known to grow in this location. Now, there's a lot of question about this, and a lot of people try to use it to point out and say, see, it wasn't there, it wasn't in a place, and so forth and so on. This is what we need to know about the olive leaf. It's a miracle of God. It is a miracle of God. Now, let me show you some things about this. This, to me, again, this is very exciting. Her work is not complete. She goes out. She is in love with him, and she wants to return to him, but she has a task to be done. She found something that was good. You know what she found? She found new life. She found newness. She found life out there in the world and brought it back to the master. Look what I have. Look what I have discovered. Look what I have found. All the time, the creator that created her created the life. Amen. He has allowed her to find the life. And the life happens to be an olive tree. The olive tree is very, very important, specifically to the Hebrew, and should be important to us. Let me also say this. Notice that she came in before dark. Amen. Where are my teenagers at? Amen. Come in before dark. That's a good one, man. Amen. Praise the Lord. Especially in daylight saving times. Amen. They're going to be in early. But I say this. Notice this. She did not want to stay in the darkness, even though she was released by the hand of her creator. We still, as born-again believers, have a free will. We are not pressured. We are not held down by an ugly hand of God. We are held in a gracious hand of the Lord Jesus Christ. We still have a free will to do, but we've been bought by grace. Amen. We've been redeemed, and we should know that we are the Lord's. Amen. She didn't want to stay in the dark. The sun was depleting, and she said, I'm not going to stay in the darkness. I'm going to go back to the house. Amen. The ark is a picture of the church. We preached that this morning. Amen. About the church. The ark is a picture of the church. I'm going to come away from darkness and come back to the house. Amen. Praise God. Hallelujah. How about that? The dove has come back away from darkness. She's come back and she has brought something lovely. John 3, speaking of darkness, verse 19, 20, and 21. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. But he that doeth truth cometh to the light, that his deeds may be made manifest, that they are wrought in God. If you've done something right, if you've done something from the Lord, you're not ashamed of it. Amen? Sin, though, it's a hidden thing. You want to keep it away from people. People know that when they're involved in some sort of sin, involved in something, man, you ever been in a position where your parent walked around the corner and you was caught red-handed, as they say? I've throwed it, whatever it was. Whoo! I had my dad one time come around the corner. And there I was, something in this hand and something in these two fingers. My dad come around the corner. I said, whoop, whoop. And my dad looked at me and he said, uh-huh. I know what you did. That's right, brother. I know what you did. He said, uh-huh. And I thought, oh, man, he went on by. Talked with the people that were there. And when he was leaving, he turned back over his shoulder and gave me that look. You got to come home sometime. Amen. But I want to say that, like Brother Daniel showed us this morning, the Lord sees us at all times. We should not be involved in darkness. We need to have good deeds so we're not concerned about them being in the light. This dove is a picture of us. She said, I'm not staying out there in the night. I'm going to come back to the house. I'm coming back to the Creator. We see that her rest, and we see she returns. Amen. Praise the Lord. Here we see also her responsibility. The dove is a servant of God and brings what is found to the Lord. She finds an olive leaf. The bird of humility, listen to me, the bird of humility carries with her joy. The olive, the oil from the olive is a picture of joy in the Word of God. When you had olives, you had oil. If you had oil, you had prosperity. You had sustenance in your life, and that caused joy. Everybody with me? A way also to make light. They would take that olive oil and they would pour it in these tiny little pots. It's little pots. They call them lamps in the Bible. And it would be about as big as my hands like that. My mama has one that she bought in Israel. They would have oil in it. It has a little spout sticking out of it. I'll tell you what it looks like. I know you go. It looks like one of the genie lamps with no top on it. Okay? And so it's a little clay pot. It looks like that. It's got a little handle, a little crooked handle on it there. It's got oil in it. And then it has a wick sticking out of it. And you light that wick, and there you have your light. A lamp, the Bible, when it's talking about, a light unto my path, a lamp unto my feet. That's what he's talking about, that little bit of light. But they used olive oil to burn to be able to see. Man, isn't that interesting? She is the creation of God. She is the servant of God, and she carries the olive branch, a symbol of joy, a symbol of light. But not only that, it's a symbol of healing. You know what you can do? You can take good, pure olive oil and you can rub it all over you. It's good for you. Won't hurt you one bit. Now, you might smell like French fries to somebody, but you can take olive oil because, you know, your skin is actually the largest organ that you have. Your skin absorbs and takes in. And you can take olive oil and you can just rub it all over you, and it is very good for you. You can put it in your beard if you got one. But it is good for you. It brings healing and help. But not only that, it's a picture of beauty. The olive tree was something that they symbolized and believed was something that was beautiful. And when they had one, they had something that was very special. Not only that, but in the Bible, when you find someone being anointed, they're anointed with oil. Amen. She's bringing back in her little beak, she's bringing back all of this and sharing it and showing it to the master. Zechariah speaks of two olive trees. Zechariah chapter 4 speaks of two olive trees. And these olive trees are a picture of witnesses. Jesus sent them out two by two. Revelation 11 says that there were two olive trees, and these are the witnesses of God. You know what the olive tree, you know what the olive leaf is? It's the gospel. Is there nothing else that brings joy? It is beautiful. Is there nothing else as the gospel is? It's the good news, amen? She has gone out and she has plucked specifically, as God has said, an olive leaf. We, as servants of God, we have a responsibility in carrying the gospel. Amen? We carry the gospel, and we cannot be in darkness while we carry the gospel. Everybody follow me on that? Verse 12. And he stayed yet other 7 days and sent forth the dove, which returned not again unto him anymore. We have looked at the dove, but I don't want you to skip over something. Noah has observed something very important. He has observed the Sabbath day. 7 days. 7 days. Every day when it came to the day of setting it apart and worshiping the Lord, he wanted to find something from God. So he sent out that dove. He sent out the dove saying, I want something. I need something of the Lord. I want to be blessed today. I'm looking for God today. Do you come to the house looking for God? Do you come to the Lord looking for something, seeking for something? Sending up your prayer, if it will, and to bring you something back? Isn't that something? We see that Noah observed a day of rest. He was expectant on these days because it was the Lord's day. The day to worship and honor the Lord, he looked for a blessing from above. Amen? This is how we should come to the house. This is how we should come into our Sabbath. Now, we're not on the Sabbath anymore. We're on the first day of the week because it's the resurrection of the Lord. But it is the day that we give honor and worship. We've separated it to the Lord. Be expectant on that day. Amen? Lastly, let me show you about this dove. Let me say where she resides. Where she resides. It says in verse 12 that he sent her out. Notice, this is the third time. The third time. That's a picture of the Trinity. Goes out once, can't find it, comes back. Goes out twice, finds the olive. Goes out the third time, and as it has gone out the third time, it does not come back. Why is that? This could totally tear away and destroy everything that I've built up. Now she's not come back. But notice that Noah also comes out. It's done. It's complete. This is a picture of heaven. Now the ground, the deluge, the flood, the carrying of wrath and sin is dried away. Everything is growing and its newness and it's glorious and it's wonderful. It is greater than it was before. This is a picture of heaven. It not only is a picture of heaven just because of these different things, by the dry ground, by Noah coming out, by her not coming back, but it is also because it is 7 plus 7. 14 is a demonstration of double perfection. You know what? We're born again. If you're born again, you have perfection. Now, the perfection is your spirit. Amen? It sure ain't your flesh. It ain't mine either. Amen? But I'll say this, as I am have something perfect in me, one day when I get to glory, when I get to heaven, all of me is going to be perfect. The Bible teaches us and shows us in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, what is corruptible will become incorruptible. We will be changed, the Bible says. We will be changed, not in the blink of an eye, but a twinkle of an eye. It is the light glittering off the eye is how fast it will take place. We will be like this dove, and we will go out and be able to live in absolute freedom, absolute dryness, no sin, nothing harming us, nothing separating us at all from God, not even our own minds. It will be a perfect place. It is the picture of heaven. We will be absolutely full of God, having the manifest presence of God within ourselves when we're in glory. Nothing can abate the Lord's full measure within us there. Nothing can stop the full measure of God inside of us in heaven. No sin will reign in our bodies, only the presence of the Savior. We will be released as a dove in glory. We, as believers, are in the likeness of a dove. Let's stand for prayer. Lord, I'm so thankful, God, and I'm amazed, Lord, at your word, and amazed, God, at your grace, Lord. And I don't know why you have allowed such things to be able to be in my life. Lord, I'm thankful, God, for your giving me free will, allowing me to go out. But Lord, I have found no rest except in you. Lord, I'm thankful, God, that you held me, that you brought me close to yourself. You kept me in safety, brought me into the house of the Lord. And God, you've sent me out with a task. On a task with the gospel. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, God, for looking down on lowly me and seeing, Lord, that I can take the gospel. And Lord, thank you. One day, God, it will be absolute freedom when we're in heaven. Praise you, God, for your word tonight. Praise you, God, for this lovely picture. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to help us grow in your word and your name. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Amen.